Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, as we look into the book of Acts, chapter 12, for those of you that have been following along. If you have your cup of coffee or tea, I kind of like tea personally, but a good cup of coffee is sometimes hard to find.
Either one. I like both, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm kind of a snob. I really like a good cup of coffee, but it's not that easy to find sometimes.
No, you know, if it's not roasted right or brewed right, yeah. You know, it smells so good. There's a very popular coffee shop, and you walk by it, and it smells really good. But then when I go to drink it, it tastes burnt to me, and it doesn't taste good.
It's an interesting thing. Coffee is quite an art, actually, in every part of the world, just like tea is an art in many parts of the world. And if you get it freshly roasted within 3 days, and it is a good bean, and I personally like peaberry, which is coffee has two beans on it, but if the leaves have one bean, that's called a peaberry, and the bean is more. It's more delicious. Okay. It's stronger, but it costs more because you're only picking specially one bean off of it rather than two beans. And they roast it and get it to you fresh, then you have got a real good cup of coffee.
There you go.
There's some Italian brands I like too, but I don't know
like
how we got
like
on
Folgers?
Coffee. Not Folgers.
Not Folgers?
But anyway, I don't know where we got on coffee except for the fact that starting your day with the Word of God is probably one of the most important things in your spiritual life. For some of you, it may be coffee or maybe tea, but there's nothing better than God's Word.
This is it. This is how you start your day.
This is it. So we're going to talk about some interesting things in chapter 12. It says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Now, we often wonder, this was back in the times, actually, after Jesus, after he had paid the price and so forth.
Yep.
And so we find that the disciples are being persecuted, but we find this happening today. We had a missionary in our church on Sunday who had been arrested in Indonesia.
Yeah.
And they arrested him and they interrogated him is the right word.
Yeah.
And he was very wise because he said, I only know two things. One, that Jesus died for our sins and that he rose from the dead. That's it. That's all I know.
That's all I know.
I'm not going to tell anything else. They asked him different questions about different religions, and he says, I only know one thing.
That's all I know.
And he says, if I'd have answered something else, they would have probably kept me in jail.
Yeah, yeah. I'm here for this reason.
This is why,
yeah.
So anyway, Herod is arresting people who belong to the church, and he's intending to persecute them.
Yeah.
And I think what happens in my mind is that some people think that when you persecute someone, they will reject the message they've been proclaiming and sort of go along with a cultural norm that are being forced upon them.
Yeah. You know, the Herod family, if you do the history, violent family.
Off with the head.
Off with the head. They were killing their family members, wives, brothers, sisters, all of this. And so they had a reign of terror that was happening, and they were the kings of
you could do anything,
Israel.
Then.
Yeah, so they were in charge. And so this moment right here is kind of like what you were saying, this whole Christian Jesus thing's getting out of hand. Let's take out some of their leaders. Let's persecute them and see how far this goes.
And the world does the same thing today with Christian groups. If you're in a non-Christian country, oftentimes these people are persecuted in a way they do. They lose their head. They actually get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's a persecuted church. And so they think that by persecuting them, then people will naturally cave and give in and come to a consensus that they can't afford to be a Christian.
Right.
And the truth is, what happens is persecution comes, and it really helps the person actually in his faith, because your persecution brings you to a place where you say, well, I'm going to endure this because I know that the end is where I want to be.
Yeah. The gospel message, the message of Scripture, what we sit here and talk about every Sunday, what we carefully read through and share with you, is a message that motivates people's hearts to believe in something far beyond anything this world has to offer. And so the person and work of Jesus Christ and what we believe in so captivates our hearts that we're willing to die for it.
And when you look at the disciples' testimony. They saw Jesus die. They knew he died, but they saw him rise from the dead.
That's pretty good.
Now, hey, let me tell you something. Persecute me, do whatever you want, kill me if you want, but when I know I'm going to rise from the dead, there's nothing you can do to me.
Yeah. Other religious leaders, they're
not
in the grave.
They're still there.
They're still in the grave. There used to be an old song that talks about that. They're still there. Jesus is alive. And he said, all who believe in him will have eternal life. We're going to rise again.
When you think about the life that you have now, whether it's 60, 70 years, maybe some people get to be 80 or 90, but generally you're in that ballpark. When you think about that compared to eternity, it's very little. It's like dust in the wind.
It is.
Compared to what eternity is. So I think probably there was a wager, and I forgot it was Pascal's wager or something.
Right.
There was a wager that if you're going to bet on something, you might as well take and bet on eternal life in Christ Jesus, then try to enjoy the pleasures of this life for a few years compared to eternity.
Right.
If you're going to bet, let's put everything you got on the eternity.
If the Bible is right and it's true and what Jesus said is true, then we're preparing ourselves for eternity and we get to enjoy eternity. If it's wrong, then we've lived a good life here and then we die. Okay, you know, whatever. So
you lost a little.
You've lost a little, but you've still lived a good life.
Yeah, but if it's true and you don't go for it, you've lost a lot.
You've lost eternity.
You've lost everything.
Yeah,
it's true. So he had James, Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Now, James is the pastor of the church.
Right.
And so Herod has his head cut off.
Yeah.
Put to death with a sword. So they figure right away, if you're going to kill the leader, you know, and if you watch any movies or anything, you know, especially if it was like the British were coming and so forth, and they always taught them to shoot the leader, shoot the general, shoot the captain, shoot the leader.
Exactly.
If you shoot the leader, then everything's going to scatter. That's what they think.
They'll all fall apart.
Everything's going to fall apart. So that's what they're thinking about it. And like you said, Herod was notorious for this.
Yeah. This was his noon lunch. Yes. Off with his head. Bring me another turkey leg or
children,
something. Yeah.
Everybody else, you just get rid of them.
Yeah.
When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he decided he was going to do this to Peter also. Yeah. So he seized Peter. Yeah. So the Jews were happy. When he's talking about the Jews, he's probably talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they're looking at the leaders. Okay, we got rid of this leader, James, who was the head of this new church that was starting. And so we're happy because we got rid of this new thing that was going on. That makes us the real leaders. And so the Jews are really happy. And so Herod says, well, I want to make everybody happy, so why don't we take Peter also?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because right here you can kind of see the branching off of Christianity and Judaism here at this point. Obviously, Jesus was Jewish. He comes in. He lives. He dies. He rises from the dead. All of his first followers were Jewish. And so they went into the synagogue. They preached. They taught there. But as time passed and as persecution came, the Jews were all about persecuting the Christians, those that named the name of Christ. So there began to be this split here. And once again, here you can kind of see it forming here, how the church, the Christian church, kind of broke off from Judaism. And yet Christians still have a heart and a passion for the Jewish people.
Yeah. And this whole thing that we're reading about is happening, it says, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Mm.
So there's a feast taking place. So that means that the city of Jerusalem is packed with people because they're coming up for the feast. And so this is something that Herod's going to do to make the Jewish people happy. After he arrests Peter, so he arrests him. Peter's here with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He puts him in prison, hands him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. So one man put him in jail, but you now have 16 soldiers.
16 soldiers. Guarding one guy. I mean, you got to ask yourself, what's so impressive about Peter? I mean, he did cut the guy's ear off. He did cut the chief priest's, servant's ear off when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. So you got maybe Peter, big fisherman, you know, kind of a little impressive. And so here's these 16 soldiers ready to guard him.
Probably had something to do with the guards that were guarding Jesus.
Yeah.
And they figure, we better triple the guards, quadruple the guards.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we don't want the same thing happening now.
No.
So in Herod now, he intends to bring him out for public trial after the Passover.
Yeah.
Wait till everybody's gone.
Yeah.
And we'll bring him out for a public trial. So Peter's kept in prison. And they weren't the kind of prisons we have today. No television, no weightlifting places.
Yeah, no.
They just chained him up to an old cold stone with steel bars and probably threw him a piece of bread once in a while. But it says here that he tossed them into jail. And the interesting part says, so Peter was kept in prison, but while he was in prison, it says the church was earnestly praying to God for him.
That's an exciting passage of scripture right there to think about that when something is happening that looks bad, and it is bad. I mean, we can place this under that category of bad, that here's the king. He had already killed one of the disciples, so they're down one disciple. And now Peter, who's a very vocal leader in the church, upon Peter, the church was kind of, thrust out into the world, his first message there. So he's vocal. And here, he's now praying. So the church is wondering, okay, he's taken out James. If he takes out Peter, We'll be okay now. I mean, the church is wondering what's going to... So they immediately start praying and asking God to either miraculously help them or some wisdom as to how to handle it.
So maybe you haven't lost your head, but maybe you're going through a real difficult time. This kind of tells you, well, what you ought to do is you ought to turn to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. The church is really upset. Like you say, they lost their senior pastor here, and now they're going to take out the evangelist, and they're going to nail him too. So... It says the church decides to pray. And the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, so this is just one night before Peter's going to be brought to trial. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, we remember there's 16, but he's got him sleeping between two. Yes, that's pretty amazing.
Yep, yep.
Sleeping between two soldiers and bound with two chains, not just one. Two chains, two soldiers, and 14 others that are hanging around. And sentries stood guard at the entrance, so he's really undercover. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears, and the light shone in his cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. But he didn't wake up the guys.
He didn't wake up the guys. Yeah, no.
He just woke up Peter.
Just told Peter, hey, quick, get up.
No, that's pretty interesting, because if they're guards and Peter's waking up, how come they're not waking up?
How come they're not waking up?
I would think they'd wake up as soon as Peter gets up.
If there's a light in this, you know, when you're sleeping in a deep sleep in the darkness of a dungeon and an angel appears in light and there's light there, light normally would wake a person up, I would think.
It would. Yeah. It would. And so all of a sudden he says, quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off of Peter's wrist. Mm. And the amazing thing is the two guards that are there, they're still asleep.
Didn't even stir.
Didn't stir them a bit. A little angel dust or whatever it is, put them out. You know, just boom, they're out.
Yep.
And boom, the chains fall off Peter's wrists.
Yeah.
Now, this is a supernatural miracle.
Yeah, it is.
Because it doesn't say anything about the angels going down and taking the key from the guard and unlocking it and doing anything like that. They just automatically opened up. And sometimes I think that there are people that have chains in their life that are upon them that when the Lord ministers, that all of a sudden they're broken and the chains are broken and they're set free. This is what's happened to Peter. He's just set free.
Amen. It's a awesome picture of how God works. He shows up right on time. You know, you're getting a little, why couldn't you do it two nights before?
Yeah,
you know, you gotta bring
tomorrow,
me right to the edge,
tomorrow,
God.
Tomorrow, I'm getting my head cut off.
The night before, it's just a few hours till the sun comes up and God shows up on the scene. Sometimes we're a little nervous. That's when we try to take things into our own hands.
There it is.
And we need to let God be God.
That's exactly right. And then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. Now, I don't think he was naked, but he probably didn't have
his cloak on.
Whatever it was. And put on your sandals. So, to me, that's an amazing thing that, first of all, when that would happen, you probably just want to get out of there.
Right.
But he says, just take your time.
Yeah.
Put your clothes on.
Yeah.
Get dressed.
Get shaved.
Get shaved. Get
brush
cleaned
your teeth.
Up.
Comb your hair.
And Peter did so. And he wrapped your cloak around you and follow me. So he wraps his cloak around him and he follows the angel. And of course, the angel's going to take him out of the prison cell, but he's probably not really sure, but he's going to say, follow me. Okay, I'm following, that's for sure. The angel told him, he said, just follow me. And Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision.
Yeah. So that must have been a really cool moment for him. He's probably still thinking he's sleeping. He's like, oh, I'm having a dream. This is pretty cool. I'd love for this to happen. And so he's just enjoying the dream that he's in.
You know, the Bible says sometimes you have to be careful because you are entertaining angels unaware.
Unaware.
He's not aware of what's going on. He thinks he's having a dream.
Yeah.
And he's in a state of reality that actually is beside himself because he thinks he's having a vision. But in reality, it is really happening to them.
It's happening.
And they pass the first and the second guards.
Yep.
Remember, there's 14 guards out there.
Right.
There's
yep.
two beside them. And then they've got 14 guards out there. So they passed by the guards, the first to the second guards, and they came to an iron gate leading to the city. So we know he's got two chains on him. He's got two guards beside him. He's got two guards at the door. He's got guards everywhere. There's guards everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like this is an impossible task to get set free. There's some people feel like you're never going to get out of this.
I'm never going to get out of this. There's too much me and freedom to get too many people in my path.
Way too many things that are going to keep you and hinder you and stop you and everything. But here, God makes a way.
Amen.
And he uses angels just to guide them.
That's it.
And it's amazing. And so they're walking out. They're coming out. And they pass through these guards. And they came to the gate. And it opened for them. The gate just swung open.
Yeah.
By itself, it says.
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to touch the gate. You can't open the gate. You don't have a key to the gate. You can't get yourself out of prison.
And they went through it.
And they walked through it.
They walked right through it.
Because God opened the gate.
And when they had walked the length of one street, the angel left him.
Yeah.
I really like that. When you need an angel, he's there.
Yeah.
And then when you don't need the angel, he's not there.
He's off helping somebody else.
He's doing whatever he's doing, something else. You know, I don't know where you are today, Pastor Reed and I. We know that one of the best things you can do is to find yourself in a good, solid church where you can hear the gospel preached, where people believe in miracles, where you can actually sense God's presence, and you can have faith, and you can believe that you can be set free.
Amen.
That nothing can hinder God's work in your life. Doesn't matter what it is.
No. Nope.
You can walk through it and walk in victory.
Because God loves you. Amen.
He does. This is Pastor Adams. I hope you're walking and the angels left, but you're free. God bless you. Have a great day.